Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, but still you always pick me up whenever I will call.
We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne.
I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall, still you always pick me up whenever I will call.
We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne.
And I need you by my side. Forgive me for my pride. Please hear my cry before the throne.
Bianca on the phone. We're going to be discussing two topics. It looks like John arrived too. Great. That's awesome. We're talking about two topics tonight. Tonight we are going to explore if the punishment fits the crime of three Somali Americans wanting to leave Minnesota to join ISIS. We will also explore if the recent heart attack on the football field in the NFL game could be a side effect of vaccinations from COVID. Damar Hamlin had to be resuscitated on the field and now is currently on a ventilator. His uncle said that he only had to be resuscitated once. There is blood in his lungs that got damaged and they had to turn him over on his stomach to get some of the fluid and blood out of his lungs. Everyone is hoping for the best. It's a predecessor to the topic of discussing if vaccinations affect our organs. Also, Biden is trying to lay out a new immigration plan, which effectively only happens about once every 25 years, causes a lot of friction in Congress, and it's rarely successful in creating a solid immigration plan. Also, the Republicans have major infighting, and they're bitterly fighting over who's going to be the next Speaker of the House. And I didn't hear the verdict today, but McCarthy is having a hard time getting all the votes he needs because of the right-wing Trumpsters. So with that, I'll pull in Pianke first, And then John, he was waiting a long time. Hi, Pianke.
How is it? Hi, how are you doing? How is it right-wing Trumpsters? They doing what have been
well,
done?
They said
within...
they said on the radio that it wasn't.
Who said it on the radio? That's
right-wing.
The problem. Your radio, your news media is a systemic racist group. That's what they are. All you got to do is look and see how and listen and read how they report, how they use adjectives when it's to their convenience.
How can Trumpsters be racist? They're basically in the same mindset.
No, I'm telling you the systemic news. I said the news media is systemic racist. Look how they use adjectives. When a white man does something to a black, they always list his color of his skin and that he's a MAGA. But when a black person do something to somebody white, oh, it's a victim or some unhappy citizen, an unfortunate citizen.
I agree with that.
Wait,
but
you don't describe
branch.
It like that.
Okay, you didn't give me a chance in a sense, but let me put it this way.
Well, you came to me, you asked me to apply, and I did after you was done. They're doing what they're supposed to do. I don't like Kevin McCarthy because he's flaky, and they need to get rid of him. They should have some flake. We have to change things around. I'm talking about American citizens. It doesn't make a difference if they're Republican or Democrat. Things are all messed up.
Let me reframe it differently. The Republican Party is not in consensus on who they want to be speaker. They're having a hard time solidifying votes for one particular candidate. Is that better?
And based on the rules of Congress, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing you can do with
it. It is, but it also demonstrates to some groups who might be biased that the Republicans are having a hard time governing.
Well, that's because the people that don't understand what's going on don't understand government, period. You're supposed to root out
John's
those
emotions.
Well,
John's on the air now, too. If you want to hammer this point down, go ahead. But John is here. We will discuss this topic first. There's no particular order. And Don will be calling in shortly, and you can give John kudos for calling in on time. So, John, do you agree with Pianke's statement that I presented the material on a biased matter? Earth to John.
They've waited 2 years for this opportunity, and they have it, and it's like they're starting from scratch. Like, they should have known in advance, okay, we're going to get probably have this come up, right? It's like when you're in a band or a team, you know that you have a game coming up, you prepare for it. Now, with the Democrats, they're all united on their person. Like, every vote is for their guy. But it's the Republicans are fumbling around going, okay, let's figure out how we're going to do this. And it makes everyone else question their unity and if they have a plan, even if they do have a plan or don't. It just looks clumsy right now.
Well, it's because people that's watching it don't understand the process. It has went on forever. Just like when you had filibusters. When you had Robert Byrd filibustering for about 48 hours, that's the way it works. And if they didn't have, you just had some new elected Congress people. You got some bad people in that party under the auspices of Republicans, just like you probably would have some bad people in the Democratic Party. And they don't stick to party platforms, and they need to be gotten rid of. It's sad that it has to happen here. It should happen at the poll. People should know who they're voting for rather than voting lockstep as they are told and have been conditioned to do.
Well, in some ways, Congress people are elected every 2 years. It probably is kind of healthy that not everybody's on the same page, because just think of, there's 435 members of Congress alone, not the Senate. So if they all thought the same, and like John said, the Democrats are unified because they have these people within the Democratic Party that are motivating the freshman people and the sophomores they have a better system of getting votes, and the Republicans have been fractured for years in the Senate and the House. And
the new ones that's coming on should not have to be schooled. They should have been schooled from the people that voted from them. That's the problem. People vote for party designation and skin color. They should have been schooled by the people that voted for them. And the issues they're trying to push for are good issues.
Just like
you mean the country is saying
the squad,
we're not talking about the squad. How is the country changing?
I know,
the
I'm
rules
just
and
saying,
regulations
I'm talking
and
about
civic
the,
responsibility the, is the same. Is not civic responsibility the same?
It's kind of like Hollywood now. Certain Congress people are there to become famous and get a name for themselves. They're not really. It's not like in the days of Tip O'Neill where you had to wait your turn. And you had to climb the ranks and things
of that
nature.
There should be term limits to the number of years that any congressperson serves. The choosing of U.S. senators should go back to the state and the repeal of the 17th Amendment.
I know that in your and Suzette's group, that group that you attend once a month for term limits, I can't remember the name of it. You've told us about it.
Well, Congress is getting ready to take it up themselves. It's just not any one particular group. They're Americans. It's what Americans, no matter what party they are, no matter what skin color they are, they are Americans, and they're sick and tired of it. I was at a group today, had black members there. They were sick and tired of it. Nobody talks about
it. John, what was that group that Suzette was in that she went to once a month? It was some type of constitutional group that was trying to modify that.
And you should
know
it.
Make changes.
You should know it. John should know it, too.
Well, I don't remember because I work 90 hours a week and I got a life.
You should know the Constitution. It's not no group making up things.
I'm not talking
they're doing
about
it based
the Constitution.
On the Constitution.
I'm talking about the group that meets once a month and they're trying to get ratification on three different
things. They're basing
things.
It on the U.S. Constitution.
Well, you know, okay, why don't I let someone else take the show over?
Well, it doesn't make no difference to me because I'm going to be the person that I am as I have been forever. We have little time for people that is ill-informed. And I don't care about people getting bad with me.
The only thing that I exceed you at is religion because I'm more informed in religion.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to talk about that.
So maybe you can change and become a Christian.
No, I don't want to be that. I don't need to be a Christian. My people existed before Christians did. But what I'm saying is this, that you need to know the laws of this country.
You gotta slow your roll, damn it. I feel like I'm on the attack already. For one thing,
that's what conservatives should do. That's what they should do.
I'm glad you're challenging me, but you're not battling 9 inches of snow, bad parking, and a difficult lifestyle. You're
that's what come
there,
I got a summer. That's what come
south.
I got a summer home, a winter home. Should
with
I say?
With your sandals on.
I follow the duck.
Okay, I'm diverting to this video just to piss you guys off. So, give me a Hollywood second, and then you guys can regroup. Here we go.
Our Americans. It's clear the recruitment efforts are working. 100 Westerners from 90 countries have left their homes to fight with ISIS in Syria and Iraq. Nearly 200 of them are Americans. It's clear the recruitment efforts are working, especially in Minnesota, home to the largest Somali immigrant population in the United States. We went to Minneapolis to speak with this community who is actively trying to fight this right alongside the FBI. Far from the deserts of Syria and Iraq, ISIS terrorists are eyeing vulnerable young men and women here.
Is ISIS targeting the Somali community in Minnesota?
Yes.
No question.
No question.
How aggressively?
Aggressively. They're recruiting Westerners, but they're recruiting here.
Through online propaganda, their efforts are working.
For the Somali community in Minneapolis, it is a chilling replay of the recent past.
In 2007, more than 20 Somali Minnesotans left here to go fight with the terrorist group Al-Shabaab. Now, second wave, but this time it's ISIS recruiting them. Approximately 15 people have left Minnesota to fight with ISIS.
We have had a number of people travel from the Twin Cities. We've had a number of people attempt to travel, and as we speak, there are people making preparations to travel.
It's still going on.
It is ongoing.
The most vulnerable are also some of the community's youngest, like Hamza Ahmed, arrested in February.
What was he like?
Good kid. I mean, I never pictured him. I can't believe what I'm hearing right now.
Authorities say 19-year-old Hamza Ahmed and three companions took a bus from here in downtown Minneapolis to New York's JFK Airport in November. His destination, Istanbul. But he never made it. Instead, he's here in jail awaiting trial, charged with attempting to provide material support to ISIS.
The 19-year-old kid.
That's who they're recruiting. 18 to 20-year-olds, that's the focus of the recruiting by ISIS right now.
Others recruited Douglas McCain, who was killed fighting with ISIS in Syria this summer. His friend Troy Castar was recruited by Al-Shabaab.
This is a real Disneyland. You need to come here and join us.
He died fighting with them in 2009. His mother spoke to CNN last year.
I had no clue that he was going into a dangerous situation in that way. I think they were manipulated, and I don't think they knew what they were fully what they were part of.
Ask people here why this is happening, and some will say a feeling of isolation, disenfranchisement. Others say a lack of opportunity. Many just don't know, but all who we talk to say it must stop. Among them,
every mother that, you know, constantly thinking about, oh my God, this could happen to me.
Is this fight becoming even harder?
Well, it's a silent killer. It's just, you don't know, you don't see it, and boom, it happens.
And your child is gone.
Your child is gone.
A silent killer that took Abdi Rizak Bihi's nephew. He was recruited by Al-Shabaab when he was just 17.
What was your nephew like? Tell me about him.
God, it's the kind of nephew anyone would wish for. Nice, no crime, A student, high hopes of going to Harvard.
You think your nephew was looking for a better life?
Yes, a lot of kids are looking for a better life. I'm sure 99% of these kids were not aware of what the reality on the ground is.
And Bihi believes the threat from ISIS is even greater than that posed by Al-Shabaab.
Okay, now we're all calmed down. We're going to discuss that briefly. Don's on the air. So does Pianki or John have any wrap-up from our previous conversation?
What the
Don's
heck is
on
all
the air,
that noise?
Someone's banging. Yeah, who's banging screens in the background? Okay, we
they
gotta get together,
those people,
you guys, and no one's gonna listen to this
they
show.
They shouldn't have brought those people over. You know, that's white folks up there in Minnesota doing these crazy things, bringing people from war-torn countries that hate Americans, that killed Americans, going back with movies like Black Hawk Down. Blood is thicker than water. They have been involved in all sorts of crimes and tribulations up there in Minnesota, from daycare fraud on down the line. You got these religious groups, Lutheran Charities, Catholic Charities, that bring these people off the equatorial zones of Africa and put them up in Duluth, Minnesota, in Minnesota? For what?
No, Duluth is 2.5 hours north of Minneapolis. I'm an hour south of Canada.
Minneapolis, you got a little Mogadishu in that area because they have the factions that existed in their country have been brought over here and they continue to fight each other and just rampant your city.
Well, you made an excellent point last week about how just because people get transplanted here for safety because they're coming from war, it doesn't mean that their loyalties are going to fade or their personal identity. Like, they still identify with what they grew up with. and the
just like here in the United
ongoing.
States, you got 276 black separatist groups. 276 black separatist groups. They're not going to become
probably
Americans.
In one of them. There were, just to cap up that video, there were 3,400 Westerners recruited by ISIS. They're including Europeans from 90 different countries. 180 were American, and 15 Minnesotans were part of that group that went over there. But the only thing that disturbed me about that interview we just listened to is in the first 4 minutes, they only interviewed white FBI authoritarian types. They didn't start interviewing the actual Somalians till the second half of the video.
Well, you know, here's the thing. FBI, what are you stopping these people from leaving the country for? Leave alone.
Well, I did find an article about – I found an article on a website that Alabama East African left the United States to join ISIS, but then she regretted it and wanted to come back, and they wouldn't Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who was under Trump, wouldn't let her. Her name was Hoda Mathuna. She had an 18-month-old baby. He said, no way is she coming back. When she lived here, she wasn't a citizen, and we're not letting her back in the country. And I agree with him.
If Somalians want to go back to Somalia, why are you stopping them?
I think the FBI does set people who are affiliated with terrorist organizations, what we perceive.
During the Ethiopian-Italian War, you had black Americans that wanted to leave and go fight with Ethiopia against the Italians. I mean, that's just the way it is. The internment of Japanese was the right thing to do because blood is thicker than water. When you're fighting against a country and you got a lot of their citizens in your country, hell, the possibility of them forming a fifth column always exists.
Well, let's pull John and Don into the conversation, and then we're going to beeline to the football player, and then we'll go back.
You had the same problem. Did you know you had the same problem with the war in Philippines? You had black American soldiers went to fight with the Philippines because their skin was not lily white against Americans?
No, I didn't know that, but was that before the Philippines became part of the U.S.?
Well, I hope so.
Well, now the Philippines are they are U.S. citizens in a sense, just the way Puerto Ricans are. But John, do you have any last comments on our initial conversation with Bianca?
Oh, just I agree with them as far as if people who want to be in this country should swear their allegiance to it. We're bringing in people that don't have any allegiance to our country. They just want to milk it. They want to complain about it or wave their flag. And that's not what it's about. In fact, we should have a dedication to America at a time where everyone that's here, like, you know, you sign up again or you declare your allegiance. We used to do that as kids. They don't really push that anymore. Everyone's got
the emphasis should be on the whites that's behind this. Ain't no black folks behind that. You got whites up there in Minnesota that's hell-bent on this cultural melting pot experiment. They should be that you need to be marching in front of their damn houses. You need to be on Lutheran charities and Catholic charities.
I have a question. How about all the white American people who are loyal to swastika causes or to you know, the white supremacy causes? Does the FBI spend as much time investigating those kind of groups?
I don't know if they do or not. And for a white person to say that they are white nationalists, that's perfectly fine for me for what the definition means. You got blacks that do it. You got black supremacists.
Well, I know a lot of, I know some black people who are very proud of their military service, and they're very proud Americans.
Didn't you have Puerto Ricans that go in on the congressional floor
with
weapons at one time, or planting bombs? Didn't you have a Puerto Rican group that did that at Congress in the assembly? We're going to blow the place up?
Right. Well, okay, Don, why don't you talk about, have you ever been part of a black supremacy group? Or is it just all in your own opinion?
No, I've been, in terms of supremacy group, I am the supremacy group. But
that's
well,
what I meant by your own mind.
Yeah, you damn right. Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You bet. Yeah. Well, yes, you know that I've been involved for years, decades, almost over a decade, with the NAACP, basically all my life. So I don't know if you call that a supremacy group or not, but my wife is the president, and I'm second vice president. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I do that are behind the scenes, backroom talk. I'm also a legislative lobbyist, citizen lobbyist. So I get privy on a lot of
You don't have to go through your credentials every day. Just tell us your answer.
I did.
Okay.
What do you consider the NAACP
to be a support system for black people to, like, an extra security blanket of some sort? I mean, I just want to know your own definition of it.
That's a very good question. I don't think of it that I haven't thought of that kind of question before. But it ensures the possibility of equal justice for all. You know, it's for colored people. At that time, it was for Negroes, but of course it was founded by white, Jewish, and black people. So, you know, this is an organization for everyone, and it's to ensure the opportunity for equality while we're, you know, traversing society. Traversing our lives. The only necessity was because, in particular, black people were, you know, killed. we were useless after slavery, after free labor, and so our lives were marginalized. And so they realized that back in 1919 and before, actually. And so they decided to develop the group, and my mom was a member, my dad was a member, and I was a member pretty much for life. So this is something that they don't want to recognize. And, you know, I go to conferences every year, so the
they also create scholarships for people and stuff like that.
No, everything. Everything you can think of, the AACP takes care of.
Like file lawsuits because on the behalf of Coca-Cola, because there's Coca-Cola's, in order for them to get their sodas in areas where people don't want their soda for kids. So they go to NAACP and call and make them holler racism.
I found the mission statement, and then I'm going to have John present his argument on Damar Hamlin, that he was possibly vaccinated and could have caused his heart attack, because he has limited time tonight. The NAACP's mission is to achieve equity, political rights, and social inclusion by advancing policies and practices that expand human and civil rights, eliminate discrimination, and accelerate the well-being, education, and economic security of black people and all persons of color. So I just read the mission statement.
And their mission statement is flawed. They do not do what they said they did. I joined I joined the St. Louis chapter of NAACP on behalf of a friend, John Bordeaux, and he ran against a president, and it came out as a tie. But the thing that John Bordeaux done, he got other St. Louisans who was a member of the Nation of Islam to join the NAACP. So they all voted for him.
Well,
now,
all,
when they had a runoff,
color,
hang on,
probably.
This is where it gets good. This is where it gets good. When they had a runoff election from the tie and he won, then the state chapter in Del Mar and also Kwame Mfume with the national chapter worked to get him removed and kicked out of the organization, which they ultimately did. They ain't worth a damn. They bad.
In other words, they didn't approve of someone who was Islamic?
They didn't want those Muslims in the organization.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong
with
it.
It's in the paper. You can read it.
What year was that? Because if the Mfume was involved, it had to have been within the last 6 years that happened.
It was in the 2000s because my stepson and his wife, my daughter, was a member of it. Well, keep talking. I'll find out for you. Just keep on talking. I'll pull it up.
That's all right. I went to the convention this year at Atlantic City, and there's nothing. The other groups, the other states, didn't bring anything up, and they usually would as we were talking about the chapters and resolutions.
Here's another thing that they've done. August the 28th, 2017, calls for African-American travelers, visitors, and Missourians
to
pay special attention and exercise extreme caution when traveling throughout the state, given the series of questionable race-based incidents occurring statewide recently. In other words, they were telling people that you allow them to get killed by a white police officer.
Yep. That's what we talked about. I mean, we talk about all the government.
But they don't give you no warnings about going through Chicago. They don't give you no warnings about driving through North St. Louis, which both in these instances are black and red.
North St. Louis is the worst. But, we do talk about cities, and then, but we don't talk to them. That was under special circumstance. That was right.
They also don't
warn
people about driving through cracker country.
There are subtle.
But what is cracker? That's racist that you say that. I never have said that North St. Louis is Sambo country.
Wait, when I first moved here, my friend John DeMaster told me, don't ever bring Lauren near a bar in McGregor, Minnesota. There's a lot of closet racists up there. Lauren's my son.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being a racist if you don't, as long as you don't violate someone's
He's
civil rights.
He's not racist. He's warning me against racists.
There's black racists all over the place.
Correct.
There's also white crackers up here. I can call myself...
Correct.
I can call my own race crackers if I want.
Why don't you just call yourself a saltine?
That's fine.
Okay, you guys, I have to interrupt this broadcast so John can have the floor because he's at the gym.
Right, that's
and
what
he
we
doesn't
heard.
Want soap up his ass. And he wants to talk about the football game.
Okay, go ahead.
Where black people dominate the sport.
Right. And they fall out because they
okay, go ahead, John. Go ahead, John. Are you dead in the shower?
No, I just had to unmute my phone. Yeah, so they have the football game with the Bills and the Bengals, and as people may know, there was a very, it was a good hit. It wasn't the worst hit in the world. I mean, basically, Damar Hamlin, he hit the, he was a defensive back. He hit a wide receiver by the name of Higgins. They hit each other, fell down, and he got up. And then he took a couple steps and he collapsed. So as far as the hit being that traumatic, it wasn't like he broke a leg or he was incapacitated on the ground. He made the hit. They both jumped up like normal, like any other play. And then he, a couple steps later, his heart stopped and he collapsed. So in soccer, over the last couple of years, there's been a 5-time increase of players collapsing on the field. And it's been since the era of COVID vaccinations. Now, I'm not saying that it's causing them, but the problem with vaccinations that create spike proteins, and spike proteins cause inflammation, and inflammation causes blood clots. And that's when they've given warnings about the vaccinations that in some people can contribute to heart problems. So we're starting to see, you, if you watch the news, seems like every day there's some celebrity, some newscaster, someone young, you know, 20s, 30s, they're just collapsing, they're having heart attacks. And it seems that we haven't had this kind of thing before. When someone has a heart attack, you always go, oh, they got to be over 50. In my era growing up, it was very rare ever, unless a kid had a heart problem when they were like 5 years old, to see something like that happen. But we're seeing it happen very regularly. And but the problem is if you try to discuss that, if you try to share that, you'll get censored, you'll get shadow banned. We're seeing with the Twitter files, Twittergate, as they're releasing a lot of these from Elon Musk, that Twitter controlled a lot of narrative regarding Fauci, regarding vaccinations. You just, if you were mentioning these things, your traffic was cut down. You know, you were censored. They would shut you down. And so this is something that, unfortunately, no one can talk about it. You know, you can't bring it up. If you do, they say, well, the experts say it had nothing to do with it. But, you know, why are young people collapsing with heart problems, you know, in this era? And I don't know. Anyone want to respond to that?
I did a little research, and his lungs got damaged, too, with that hit. They were bleeding inside, and they had a they put him on a ventilator, but they also had to lay him on his stomach because there was too much blood and fluid in his lungs. And he's really not – he's progressing well, but he's really – it's 50-50, you know. Like, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to say that. But there seemed to be some problems with his organs before he got hit. And his heart literally did stop, so when they resuscitated him, they did bring him back to life. So I don't know if COVID is a factor or vaccinations in this case particularly, but it is something to ponder. I'll let somebody else go.
Those football players are examined. Matter of fact, they say it's just like buying slaves. When you went to the market to buy slaves, there was nothing in nothing but their loincloths. People were looking at their backs, their teeth, their eyes. That's the same thing they do with these players. They strip them down to nothing but their shorts, and coaches look at them for physical deformities. Then, when they sign up with a college, they carry them through an MRI. They text everything about them. I know at the University of Missouri, Columbia, they carry out these biological measurements on players. In case they get hurt, they rehab them back to the point where they were when they came into the school or better. So to say that this man had something that nobody detected is a bunch of malarkey. He took the shot. I had a friend that was a former Lions, Detroit Lions football player. He took the shots early on, and he died. Had a heart problem. They rushed him to the emergency room the Saturday before Christmas. They operated on him 9 hours. Okay, he came out. He came through. And about Thursday of that week, he was dead.
Wow.
And you think it was from the shot? Because could it be the shot, you know, in general, blacks, and I've said this many, many times, resisted getting the shot more than anybody.
It was smart. I can give him a comment. I know several others. Dave Marks was a stationary air engineer. He's dead. Cleo Willis was an activist in St. Louis. He took the shots, and he has speech impairment. Devin Collins down in New Orleans, he's dead. Renoko Rashid, I think he died from the shots.
Okay, well, the blacks is always they were more fearful of it than anybody else.
Well, white folks are dying also. What happens is that I think that this thing, it takes maybe a year or two before all this stuff starts breaking through.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just something that
people are getting more and more shots too. You know, so it's an accumulated.
Well, people are afraid. They're afraid, and that's what they're going to do.
Remember steroids and HGH and creatine and all these other things they're taking too now. And that's not...
they were not threatened with not having a job if they didn't take steroids.
Sure they are.
Nobody said if you don't take steroids, you don't get a job. We're going to fire you. If you don't get steroids, you can't come into the business. You can't come into the restaurant. You can't board the plane.
It's a subtle thing in sports. If you have all those sports friends, they should probably talk about that with you. The steroids is prevalent with all athletes. And, you know, Lance Armstrong, you've got everybody, the baseball players, half the pitchers. These guys are on steroids. They've been for a long, long time.
I trained baseball players. I never had any of them to tell me that. I have a nephew. I've got a nephew who's playing for Mizzou, Luther Burton, who's the number one high school wide receiver pick. Nobody told him that.
That's fine. Hey,
I don't know.
No. It's something people don't tell other people. The only time.
Well, if I ask one of my siblings something, they tell me. I don't know about your family. Well, go ahead.
Oh, they tell me too. I mean, no, shit.
Matter of fact, Demetrius Johnson was his agent, getting the deals and everything. The University of Missouri gave him a brand new Mercedes.
And I mean, because you were spot on.
He's got his picture on the old Vienna potato chip.
Well, you're spot on when you said that the college coaches, managers, they look at the people, you know, the players as pieces of meat, as somebody who's going to be used for, you know, kind of a slave situation. You're right on there.
I would think that, several people have said that they get a number of physical examinations, their heart rate checked, all that kind of stuff frequently. Like the situation that happened with Damar Hamlin was unusual and not predictable.
Well, you've had some other players that died from that also.
Someone in my high school died of a heart attack during a practice.
You've had some football players that's died. I think one just here recently, one from Africa. I can think of his name. I probably sent you the link.
I don't think you've sent me any links about football.
Bottom line is that he took the perfect hit. It hit him right in the sternum, the perfect place, the perfect spot, and the perfect upper body motion. Kinetic motion. So that was what happened. It took his body and into its shock. Now, if there was a pre-existing condition, then he probably would have been something before this would have shown up, just like Piazzi said. But, you know, this is something that was the perfect hit. And so, John, that's kind of like
what needs to be. They need to suspend all contact sports in high school.
No
because
way.
You've got children that's playing in peewee football and that's putting themselves in these harm's way situations, which is very big, concussions and everything else. They need to cut out that type of contact sports in high schools.
They're not going to do it. I know people in Minnesota, their kids are in hockey, peewee, bantam. They live and breathe the sport up here.
You got to do it for the best.
They just built a multi-million dollar facility in the remote part of Iron Ore.
Well, they can play flag football. They can play flag football. There's nothing wrong with playing flag football, but contact sports like that causes concussions, causes other injuries for a child whose body is not fully developed.
I agree with that. That movie that Will Smith was in that didn't get that much attention about football injuries. It wasn't a blockbuster like they expected it to be.
It was an effort to try to do it in boxing at one time.
Yeah, it was off the radar for many people.
John, what's your take? You
made the presentation. Now give us the feedback from their feedback.
Well, you know, something to consider with this is that it's a dangerous sport, and people watch it for entertainment. And so everyone was so upset. I'm talking about the players on the field and the fans that they didn't want to play the game, and they didn't want to continue even this week. They were going to cancel games. But the point is that over 1,000 men die in construction jobs every year. That's like two or three every day or more. People die in law enforcement. They die in logging is the most dangerous occupation. And everyone goes back to work the next day. Life just keeps on going.
But these
guys have paid a lot of money. You know, for a non-essential service, it's just entertainment. It's not like some guy who has to go and work a job where you can die. Like we have a railway they're putting right here in Westwood by UCLA. And I was talking to one of the guys working on the project. He said, yeah, we've had a couple of guys die working on the tunnel just in this last year. And it's like no one makes a big deal about it. You know, if males die all the time doing necessary jobs. I think they made a big thing about this because he is black and it's kind of a BLM kind of offshoot. Like his life matters above everything. And I'm not saying it. Sportscasters who are questioning whether they should go on with the game, and people were responding by saying his life is more important than anything. Like the game doesn't mean anything. It's like, well, all of you guys working in that field support their families and their lifestyle with this entertainment. It's their job. So the show does have to go on, I think, because everyone else works. We have to support ourselves. And it's a tragedy. I'm glad that they prayed for him. But the point is, it's like the world doesn't just stop for this one guy. I don't know why they're making it bigger than life.
This is another thing, just like Donald Trump shutting the country down. You're right about the fact that even the players know that this is their livelihood. And they have fun. So, you know, it's fun, you know, stripping down and showing people that you've got the biggest one. So the thing is that you come out and you just beat somebody's head in. You're a gladiator for all time. Everybody will know your name. And just a few little bumps and bruises and torn ligaments and spinal column injuries won't hurt you through the rest of your life. So that's something that they are warned about, they know about, but when they can make, especially when they get out of the college, they can make money with, hey, with the way that history is and money is supreme, that's the way they'll go.
Well, here's the thing. He's working for a company that has work comp on him. Plus, they have insurance on it.
Right.
But the thing is this. I'm getting ready to send her this article about this Jacksonville Jaguars offensive lineman, who also is dead at 38 years of age. But the thing is this, is that you got these concerns where you've had a lot of athletes who is associated with this vaccine. And not only athletes, but also people, but they make emphasis on athletes because they're supposed to be healthy specimens. And they're dying. And usually from the same heart problem. And doctors have said that, yes, these vaccines do cause problems with your heart. But not the prominent doctors, because they don't let them talk. And if they do talk, they are subject to losing their license and so on and so on and so on.
What? Why would they
lose
their license? I
think what he's trying to say is the guy's protected.
The same reason why structural engineers wouldn't come out and give their positive opinion about the towers falling down, because they're licensed by these organizations like the American Institute of Steel Construction, and on and on and on.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, the bottom line is that truth is truth, and that's what's been kept away from the American public all this time for many centuries. So, you know, we just have to live with it and keep on going. That's why I'm involved in as many things as I can, because somebody, you know, needs a voice, and I might as well be the man. So it's no big deal to me. I'm used to it. So it's like, okay, bring it on. But did he answer John's question? That's what I just want to know.
Well, it seems that if it was a white athlete, I don't think it would have made as big as an impression. Like
bullshit.
It's a young African-American man.
It would have made way bigger impression. We would be shutting down half a season if it was a white guy. If it was a white athlete who got hit like that, or who took a hit, whatever you want to call it, because you didn't see the play before, the guy flew over another guy and fell right on his head, and he was trying to make a tackle. He was on defense. You know, that game was brutal if you looked at it. And, you know, this is what they love. And I bet you Hamlin's going to come out and he's going to say, hey, if I had to do it all again, I'd do it again. So there's no reason to just mourn about this shit, John. If this had been a white athlete, though, he would have been buried near the Pope right now. So,
well, blacks have
don't
privilege.
Get it twisted. I beg your pardon?
Black people got privilege.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm
saying. I'm just saying,
about.
You know, Joe Theismann, he could have his leg ripped the other way. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, it was traumatic, but it's not the end of the world. I'm just saying that it's marketed or promoted in a certain way, like that above all things, you know, like his life is the priority, and it's like he's alive. You're not going to stop the game, you know, or life just because this person had a heart problem. It's like hundreds
Correct.
Of people die in law enforcement. They die in, you know, regular jobs, and that's their job. like, these, you know, the players know going in, I'm going to hit someone, and they're going to hit me, and it's going to be violence. It's like boxing. I really don't – I used to enjoy football growing up as a kid because I didn't understand all the damage that was being done. I just saw the receivers and the quarterbacks, and that was exciting. But when I shattered my leg, I really – every time I see a game and I see a guy get busted up – and people get off on that. You know, you'll see a guy get slammed or hit and knocked down, and guys will jump up and go, you know, whoa, what a great hit. I sit there and I go, like, body damage, you know, brain damage. Like when I see these boxers knock out someone before, as a kid, wow, that's exciting. You know, but growing up, it's like, oh, this guy is just knocking his brain around until it swells up.
Yeah, look, I tell you, can't you speak to a lot of people.
Yeah, I just don't get off on it anymore. You know? It's like, I don't enjoy watching it.
And they both got paid.
Well, yeah, they're grown. They're grown individuals, have a right to do what they want to do.
It's like the Colosseums, except they're not feeding the gladiators to the lions or anything like that. So to that degree, it's not as bad. They're not dying. You know, even if you were to die, how many guys have died playing football on the field, you know, in the last 40, 50 years, you know?
You'll see. They had to stop tacklers from leading with their helmet. That would have killed somebody.
Well, I know the sport in the 1920s, they used to have very few rules. And what they used to do is lock arms and on the kickoff and run down the field, so they'd all be lock-armed and slam into each other. And one year, about four or five guys died. And I think it's President Roosevelt. The Congress wanted to make a law outlawing football, and he wanted his son to grow up to play football. So he fought it. But there was actually a point where they were going to ban it in the 20s, and then they decided, well, let's change some of the rules. So in other words, they can't lock arms, and they can't grab guys and throw them at each other, and certain things like that. And then gradually they started getting helmets. And then helmets with face guard on it. And then they started making rules. You can't hit the quarterback after he throws the ball and blah, blah, blah.
Trying to
really make it as safe as possible. But to me, the nature of the game is you're running one way and another person's running the opposite way and you're colliding. And that is just going to bust up a body. You know, and they do it every play. So to me, I see some of the beauty of the sport, you know, the athleticism, but when I see the perpetual body just getting smashed, I just really don't enjoy it anymore. You know, it's just something I don't, especially since it got political. And that's the other thing. All the guys gathered around and prayed. And I thought that was great. It's like the only time people pray, though, is when there's a problem. They won't pray before the game. They'll just get on their knees and protest. The flag. So that's another aspect of the game. I don't care for it anymore.
Okay,
I don't even follow it.
You were doing beautifully, John, until that last.
Usually I wait till the Super Bowl just to see who's going to be at the halftime entertainment and just to see what kind of Illuminati symbolism they're going to use. And they usually do it every year.
They had a white coach that was fired. He had a white coach that was fired because he was having his players pray before the game.
That was I think that was a high school game.
It was a high school game, high school coach. They fired him because he was having his players to kneel down and pray before the game. And then he would go out in the middle of the field and pray after the game.
And they used to make fun of Tim Tebow for getting on a knee and praying before the games. And they mocked him. And that's part of the reason why they really didn't want him playing football as a quarterback. He was very successful. There was a lot of that religious baggage, if you could call it, that came along with him. And a lot of the press and media didn't like that at all.
Now, if him and another male was out in the middle of the field kissing, it would be fine, perfectly fine.
No, wait. No, it
wouldn't. Hell, it wouldn't be. It would be fine.
I mean, culturally, it wouldn't be. In all actual, idealistically, yeah. But,
what about that football player, Sam? Obama praised him. He was openly gay.
And he never made it to the NFL, even though he could have been.
He was in the NFL.
No, he was only on practice squad.
He got a tryout, but he wasn't that good. But he was more famous for his sexuality than his skill and ability. Like, he wouldn't have gotten that tryout, but they had to give it to him because they felt he would claim that they were, basically
barring
him.
And they said the tryout wasn't good enough. But somebody had him on his practice squad for a little while until they got rid of him. And said he was done. So, and I'm sure that there would have been some place, some spot, somewhere, if he wasn't so openly gay, that he might have been able to play. But our culture is not ready for that right now. But the vaccine, in terms of what we're talking about, the vaccine is something that we're coming to social immunization. So we're going to be in a point where we're already, immunized, if you will, with COVID, for COVID. So this is if we got the shot and all that stuff, I don't think that it's going to matter. When you got 5 deaths and you got 15, that's whatever your percentage was, 200%. So, go with it and chalk it up to just perfect timing.
Well, it gets to the point where they basically can't ignore it, that people are having all these heart issues, especially the soccer players, because they're very healthy. They're not hitting each other directly that much, not like football. They don't have to wear pads. And you're seeing some of the best players, they're having heart problems. They're having issues. And it is up 5 times, the reported incidences. Guys collapsing, and you see the, every day. It was funny, not funny, but I mean ironic, Hank Aaron, the home run king, he posted, I got my vax shot. And a couple weeks later, boom, he's dead, Betty White, she posted, I got my vax. And it's like, boom, within the week, she's dead. Not saying that, they've lived a full life, but what is ironic is that you see so many people posting, like, you got to get your shot, and I'm glad I got mine, and then you see a week later, heart problems, they died. So,
Barry Bonds, the home run king.
He is. I'll go with that, but... I'm just saying that, for some they won't recognize him. They won't even let him into the Hall of Shame.
Yeah, it's racist of them.
Well, everyone in that era, too, they're not
Milwaukee.
Letting them in.
I'm from Milwaukee, so I have an affinity. We knew Hank Aaron. So, that's something that it was something that it's very, very touching subject because Barry Bonds was a great hitter. There's no doubt about that. But he was, he, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, those guys were juiced, and they had an advantage.
Mark McGwire admitted it. I don't know about Sammy Sosa.
I think he had ultimately admitted it. So,
Roger Clemens said no. Barry Bonds said no.
Part of the problem was steroids were legal. Like, that's the whole issue. They were not illegal in baseball. And so what happened is about a couple of years, people were complaining that, I think a lot of these people are doing steroids, and they went to Congress, and Congress said, well, let's have people testify. So they would ask them questions, and then it became a legal issue. Did you lie before Congress? And what made it crazy is baseball said, listen, we're going to test all you guys. It'll be anonymous. So everyone in the league has to get tested, and no one will ever know. So, you know, they would give them, like, oh, here's your cup, and, you know, like, maybe your BB for Barry Bonds or whatever. Or maybe they give you a different code or a number. And then after it was done, someone leaked it. So it was a setup. It's like me saying, hey, you know, maybe I know you know, smoke weed. It's like, we're going to do a test, but no one's ever going to know. It's just a rant. We just want to get an idea how many people smoke pot. And then you do it. And then the next moment, they're reporting it in the news. They're having congressmen coming after you and, you know, wanting you to testify. And if you testify wrong, then, you know, you can go to, I mean, they can make it a legal thing. It became a very big deal. But the interesting thing is, you know, I think Willie Mays is the greatest of all time. I think if he played in Hank Aaron's ballpark in Atlanta, which was called the Launching Pad instead of Candlestick, I think he would, done way better and maybe have, been the all-time king. But the thing about it is, in his era, Hank and Willie could play into their 40s and still be competitive. The problem is now, even average players, because of the training and the PEDs and everything else, and the fact that there's so much science into it, they analyze every pitch, every, you know, the swing angle. They have all the mechanics. They break everything down. And it's hard for guys to be competitive after 35. I mean, their bodies are shot. Some of them, by the time they're 32, 33. And that's when you see these players with these long contracts. And then when they get to about 34, 35, they just can't perform. You know, very few of them. And it's a different era. But, you know, before you could go to 42 years old and still be on the All-Star team. You know, now you just can't be competitive, you know, because average players are pumped up. They're at the gym. They got, you know, a hitting instructor, a nutrition coach. This or that. Some teams have like 10 different coaches for each little thing, for your swinging, for your stretching, for your workout, for your diet, for everything, your psychology. So it's just way more competitive. And guys are breaking down more. You know, you see guys like kids going out of high school or college with Tommy John surgery. They've blown their arm out before they even, you know, before they're 21 years old.
So your point is that contact sports, any sports, should be banned, and because these kids, I mean, I've got a grandson, two grandsons, who are going to be a beast in football and basketball, and they're 8 and 6 years old. They're going to be beasts. They're cracking, you know, busting people's heads and taking names. So we discussed that here in the family, and I know that the only time I ever had my bell rung pretty much in my life, well, I had a couple car accidents, but besides that was when I got hit as a defenseman with a bat who slammed my head back on the field, icy field in Wisconsin. The only time I ever had my bell rung was in football, and I played everything. So, you know, it's kind of like whatever. I mean, this is fun. This is part of life. And so we have to, I'm trying to figure out what your point is, John, because this is what people do. They've done since, you know, the dawn of time, competition. This is human nature. This is what we call, you know, call up from our DNA. So,
oh yeah, I know. People will always want it. People will always want to see a fight. You know, like you know how it is. Right. You go to a party or any event, and someone starts to fight, and everyone gathers around. No one's going to ignore
what's
it, right?
Point?
We all got to see it.
Jane was right from the start. There's nothing that's going to happen.
Oh no, I'm with you on that. The point I'm starting to turn to here is that like. 40 or 50 years ago, football players were like 6 foot tall, 180 pounds, 200 pounds. and some of them slow. Now you got guys, 6'5", 6'7", 300 pounds, who can do almost the 40 in like 4 point something. I mean, they're fast and strong. So the velocity they're hitting guys now is way more. I think the average Green Bay Packer line was something like 220 pounds. The average line now is like 275 to 290.
But with the promise of $5 million a year. Going back to the football, going back to Mr. Hamlin, you know, with the promise of $5 million a year, that's high end on the average. I think the average is $1.7 million.
You know how many players make it to the NFL? 1.6%.
Not everybody may, but you have the promise of that. And, the bottom line, you have the promise of that until draft day.
The NFL should be made to pay players even at the Pee-wee League.
Okay, now that's going a little far because the Pee-wee League, they don't know. These kids don't even know. They don't know how to tie their shoes.
All these guys have to go to college. So they're banking on that 1%. Instead of the 99% to get a degree and something they can make a living on. And most of them know, the average age, I think, is about 3 years in the league, about 25 to 26, and you're out for most guys. You know, and then the ones that stay in there a little bit longer. But the ones who stay the longest usually are very crippled by the time they get out.
Right, but it's worth it to them. These kids, you said it earlier, we've got predominantly blacks in basketball, football, and this is how they get out of the inner cities. This is the way that they go to college, so that they don't have to graduate as long as they get what they're looking for. So
how come they need to crack down on it? Because you got all these kids aspiring to become a professional ball player. And they're foregoing putting emphasis on education and academics.
Exactly. That's what should be happening. But the promise of the college making – the promise of the college making $1 million a year for 4 years on a star athlete makes them worth $10,000,
I'm going to bring another story up to Jane. And this is about the McCloskeys, the wife, husband, and wife, who had to get their guns when Black Lives Matter protested. Tore their fence down and came on their private street.
Right. But they didn't have to.
And they want to call these people terrorists. But here's another case out of Los Angeles where a black DA apologized after husband points gun at Black Lives Matter protesters. Nothing happened to him.
Right, but this California and St. Louis.
Well, he probably didn't know who they were at first. Did they have an appointment?
They came and knocked on his door. They was probably looking for his wife.
Well, I read the article, too. I don't think it depends what time of day they came. Like, if it was after 8 o'clock at night, maybe he didn't know who it was.
Well,
but
they knew
most
who
people
he was.
Do not come. They don't usually come to the door with a gun.
Why did the police lock him up?
That was in the middle of the day, the McCloskeys.
Well, that is kind of weird.
Why didn't they lock the black man up and they wanted and take his gun? They took the white man and wife's guns.
I'm not sure.
I didn't have
a chance to read the whole thing.
Well, the black people have privilege.
Well, that's what we've been talking about for years, Tiaki. I've been talking about the white privilege, and the James shuts me off with the
black privilege. Black
I never
privilege.
Shut
black
people
privilege.
Off. I let you guys talk all night.
Well, no.
They were
no,
woken. Jackie Lacey, the DA, was awoken. That means that they came at an unusual time of day.
Right.
Well,
and he said, I don't care who you are. I'll point a gun at you anyway. Get off my
these
porch.
These idiots in St. Louis was on the wrong street. And it's quite evident they tore the gate down because they got pictures of the gate and the sign saying no trespassing. Then they've got a picture of the gate tore all up, and they walked in. And they got a map showing where all this incidents occurred, an aerial map.
I don't think Black Lives Matter or not, they shouldn't go to people's home. Jackie Lacey could have met them somewhere downtown L.A. A woman said, they came to the porch, can you tell Jackie Lacey we're here? The man says, her husband said, no. I don't care who you are. Get off my porch now. We're calling the police. The Los Angeles police were called to a home around 5:40 a.m. They didn't come during the day. They came before the dawn broke. Around 50 people were there at 5:30 in the morning. That's not normal.
Well, in the summertime, the sun comes up at 4 o'clock.
Okay, stop. Stop.
Well, I still think it's inappropriate that they came that early.
I think that's
if anyone came to my door at 5:40, I'd have a word with them.
Yeah, no, that's the point. So, you know, people are doing things, but there's a lot of mental illness that has to be involved or understood. So, you know, you can't mess with, one of my savings. You can't fuck with crazy. You just can't do anything because they don't understand. I used to work with, I've worked with the homeless, and I've worked in the public, in the field all day long. So I see people at their homes, and it's incredible how things happen, how they treat each other, how they take care of their property, home ownership, things like that. It's incredible how people live, and some of it's good, some of it's bad. So you have to kind of give people a little leeway or benefit of the doubt, because you never know how they were brought up, who, what their genes are. And it's pretty, people are incredible people. The human body is the most incredible thing, one of the most incredible things in the universe, because we have every known mineral in our bodies in the universe.
Yeah, we know. What so, Jane got for next to talk about?
That's what I'm talking about. So,
what's next,
you guys? Thanks for carrying the show. I didn't really want to interrupt the football talk.
I don't know, the football talk is.
But we have been on the air. It'll be, we're 10 minutes shy of 90 minutes, so we should do our conclusions.
I would be.
I have an early morning appointment.
Well,
I gotta go back to work.
On the issue of McCarthy, I think that the politics is being played out the way it
Uh-oh.
Should be. Those
Uh-oh.
Who don't want that man, there's a lot of
Wait,
people that don't want him because
know,
of his past, his past performances. So it's need to play out. Those politicians who's not true to the call. And see, this whole thing of
what don't
runaway
you like
government.
About McCarthy?
I don't. Yeah, I'm interested in this. So go ahead, Tiaki.
I said this whole thing about runaway government is really falls on the back of the citizens. Citizens don't hold their politicians accountable. They don't go about choosing politicians the way they should. And it's just ridiculous. It has nothing to do about a politician's morals and all that. It's about the policies and the issues.
That's what they should be focused on.
And that's why there should be no the interruption in government just because the party doesn't have a representative. This is something that I think should be changed. I didn't know anything about the process.
You have to change this. The Congress makes up the rules themselves.
I know. Well, what we need to do is just if they can't choose somebody, you know, go on with them as a quorum or whatever the case may be and just keep on going. Right now, government's shut down. Right now, we're shut the fuck down.
That's good. When you shut down, you ain't spending no money.
You ain't spending no money, but you're spending the money that's already been appropriated. And so you're not able to, you know, do all the collections that you need. So, you know, the thing is that the government is, you know, shut down. And I don't know how long we're going to be able to do this because it's effectively going to change the GDP. And, you know,
how is it going to change the GDP?
Because it's going to make sure it, all of
huh?
the, okay, the tax cuts, I mean, not tax cuts, the inflation rate is going up because, of, you know, it's up there because we have a strong workforce. That's pretty much
what does
it
got
right
to do with the Speaker of the House?
Because right now the appropriations bills are coming up. We have
they got to come out of committee first.
We'd have to have a committee for something to come out of. We're falling behind on what we should be kept, even with right now for inflation. We're falling behind on addressing inflation. And that's something that if we keep the Federal Reserve is on its own right now. The Federal Reserve is on its own. It can give us a rate hike, 2.7%.
They've already done it. The mortgage rate is double what they were last year.
Over time, over the last year, they have. Yes, they have. You know, so that's one of the things that's not happening right now with the legislature. So it would check and balance the Federal Reserve.
The thing is, we've already, the Titanic has hit the iceberg already. So people thought everything, they're trying to make it float, we're sinking. So they did all the stimulus stuff, plus the inflation fighting, you know, act. It's like, no, that's just a smokescreen. Throw some more money in the air, print it up, and then they did the $1.7 trillion stimulus thing again. This is crazy. They had
did
all
McCarthy
year to figure this out. They wait 2 days before Christmas, and they have 4,000 pages of stuff, and no one can read it or figure it out. And they know if they don't sign it or agree to it, that they won't have their paycheck. That's all they care about is their paycheck and money in their pocket.
Money,
so
exactly.
They let it go, and this is the mess we have. But the thing is, they're out of tricks. Like, this isn't going to bail us out. We're going to be like $33, $34 trillion in debt over an income of $20 trillion. So you're going to see things. You're going to see this crash.
Your income is
another bubble
three,
like 2008.
Your income is like $3 or $4 trillion.
We got like a 1930s thing or 1929 is coming up, and it's going to blow up. And the rich people know it, the 1%, and they're going to make a lot of money because they're going to swoop in with their cash. They're going to pull out their stocks, and they're going to start buying up with more real estate, more businesses, et cetera. And the rest of us are just, you know, we're ass out. We are going to lose our – if you're in stocks, if you have property, it's going to hit a dive, you know. And it's planned. I mean – they know this is going to happen. They're just create, like, you know, when Biden says, oh, the economy is fine and, you know, we got plenty of people working. You see all the big companies, they're laying off 10,000, 15,000 people left and right. You know, Apple did, you know, Twitter, you know, people just got cut left and right. So the circus has come to town. And, you know, people are smart. They're going to make a lot of money. And the rest of us, we're screwed. You know, 99% of us.
Well, like I said before, this is
the circus has already been in town.
This is a lot of this has to fall back on people. because they just do things for the wrong reason. Freeman Bosley Jr. Freeman Bosley Jr. was the best, was the mayor, and in 2014, the Missouri Supreme Court found him that he violated he's a Democrat, various attorney rules, his conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation, and regarding diligence. The court deemed that Bosley violated attorney-client trust account rules, including commingling of funds, failure to keep proper records, not having funds in the trust, that means bouncing checks, and the failure to deliver money due clients. Now, if people read that, they wouldn't vote for him. Would you vote for him after reading that? But guess what?
No.
Freeman Bosley Jr. was the best mayor I ever seen for the city of St. Louis. He was excellent for business.
Right.
So I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. I want to know if you are a group and you sit down and talk with him, you want him to carry out certain things once he's elected.
Even though it's illegal.
It's not illegal.
The problem is how the media presents it. Like the problem the Republicans have right now is you had Donald Trump come in. He was an outsider. He's going to drain the swamp. So everyone had to get along. Half of the people didn't want him in the party, but he took it over. So they had to dance with him. So for 4 years, they're running like, yeah, we're going to drain the swamp and we're against this or that, but half of them are the swamp.
Let me ask you something. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I think he was doing that, but the problem is the press and the media and Twitter and Facebook and everyone else are crucifying him. So now if you even mention his name, it's like it's a pariah. So now the party is split. That's what's happening right now. It's like
the party should be split. You're absolutely right. It should be split. And the media is what you call systemic racism. They are racist. Just read their stories and pay attention to how they write them. Especially the black media, like BIN, Black Information News, every paragraph, every sentence they read talking about describing somebody is such and such and such a white man and such a black man. That's the lead off in all their stories.
Yes. And you saw that Prince Harry or ex-Prince Harry, or the symbol, X or whatever Harry wants to be, is now saying that William beat him up. And he and Charles didn't want Camilla or Diane and family. And
well, that's their family. They don't want that woman in the family. It's their business, right?
There's much worse for his wife, Markle.
Yeah, if Marco, if they don't want Marco in the family, that's their business. Ain't none of my business.
Right. Well, it's the whole world business because England thinks that the whole world is still there. So, this is something that the 99% of reality. So,
well, it's also reality. Half of the financial transactions of the world go through London, to the city of London. So half of the business of the whole world, the rest is Wall Street and Dow Jones and all that. But the thing is, here's what's interesting. The MIT, which is Boston, and Bank of England are working right now on a digital global currency, so for the whole world. Now, the last time Boston and England were working on money, it was a tea party. They're on the different sides. But now they're working together for this global thing. So they're all in on it.
But the United States don't have to join on to it if United States citizens don't want to.
Well, Biden signed Executive Order 14067 on March 9th of 2022. And basically it's saying fiat is out. Everything's going to go digital. And to fight the FTX and the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency, This is going to be our government rollout. It's going to be global.
What does the Constitution say?
They're going to ditch the dollar.
I understand. What does the Constitution say?
Well, there's a couple things about it regarding the Treasury, regarding greenbacks, regarding the promissory notes, you know, and Congress, I believe, works with that, but we've deviated from
that. The federal government has the power to print money. So what Biden is doing, just like several other things he's done, is unconstitutional. People shouldn't have voted for that idiot. You know the Democrats pull crap like that all the damn time. Hell, it's all throughout history, in recent history especially. And nobody says nothing. Like a damn bump on a log. Oh, wait, what time is it, Jane? What time is it, Jane?
That's what these people are, Pianki.
It's 12 midnight in Minnesota.
All right, well, it's time to get out of here.
That's what these people are, bumps on a log. So don't worry about it, Pianki.
Well,
good job, you guys. You all did a good job tonight. Pianki, I'll do that transaction tomorrow when I get paid. Don,
do it digitally.
Stay true to yourself.
This really is no challenge, but
thank you, James.
I'll see you guys
there
later.
There was a debate on Facebook about the football situation. I'll tell you guys next week.
Those people are nuts. Now I'm gonna tell you something.
It didn't make any sense.
Something.
They said they were. It's somehow guy's heart attack created a challenge about.
He may go into relapse the way DJ did. I hope he don't, but be prepared.
Do you think he'll ever play football again?
I don't think so.
No.
But I'm saying he may go into relapse.
Okay, well, thanks for joining
us,
you guys. I'm going to cut out with one of John's songs because I have to do a little extra provisions on the description.
Play Kate Smith, God Bless America. Talk to you later.
All right.
I don't have it brought up on YouTube.
Right. Bye-bye.
Good night, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank you, Lord, if you are due.